Okay, so first, thank you to the band. That was great. That was very beautiful. Thank you. And before I forget as well, we owe Katrina some huge thank yous because the slideshow did not properly load this morning and she kind of saved the day. And so I owe her a debt of gratitude as well. So, okay, yes, if you want to trigger people in a very short amount of time, name your talk that. Okay, I have received so many emails and Facebook messages, some, ooh, I want to hear that, and some, oh, that's very bad, you should not speak like that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through it and see what it is I'm actually saying. Okay, so, next slide. Okay. So a few years ago, Scott challenged me to always include Jimmy Buffett in every single class or speech that I do, and I say, honey, challenge accepted. And so I was going to read it, but I noticed we have little ears, so I'm not going to read all of it. But this is from a song by Jimmy called Fruitcakes. We were actually going to play it, but it took 7 minutes, and I only have 20. So we're not going to spend 7 minutes. But basically it says, where's the church? Who took the steeple? Religion's in some crazy hands. And then it goes on to say, it's the Buddhist in you, it's the pagan in me, it's the Muslim in him, she's Catholic, ain't she? And so what the song says to me is we're all trying to find our way. Maybe we're using different words, maybe we're going to different kinds of churches, maybe we're going into the woods to commune with nature, but all of us are the same, we're trying to find our way. Okay, so to tell you how I grew up in a very fundamental household. And the only thing I could tell you for certain in my life was that if, in fact, there was a God, he hated me. Okay? That was it. And that was reflected in every single part of my life. Sometimes I will say the joke, well, our church was Pentecostal on steroids. Okay? We were very, very fundamental. And we believed that we were the only ones actually following Christ. We were the only ones who were godly. We were the only church that was going to go to heaven. I mean, we were two shakes away from Westboro. And I do mean that literally. That is how fundamental we were. Every single sermon ended with the same message. This is the last day on earth. Tomorrow will never come. Repent now or burn forever. And I'm 10, by the way. 10 years old. And that is what I heard every single week. So these were some of the scriptures that we focused on. Clearly, we focused on a lot of Old Testament, and we focused on a lot of Revelations, okay? So in Deuteronomy 6:13, it says, fear the Lord your God, serve him and only him, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. So this automatically set up that God was angry. God hated us, you know, we were never going to be good enough. And then in Romans, we see that reflected again, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The God I grew up with was vengeful. He was angry. He was full of wrath. But the Jesus I grew up with was just the same. Jesus became something like Santa Claus in a way. You know, he was always watching. He was always waiting. He was looking for any excuse whatsoever to put your name on the naughty list or send you to hell, which, you know, when you're a kid, it's kind of the same. You know, you end up on the naughty list, you get nothing. You end up in hell, you get nothing. So there's some similarities there. But in my faith growing up, there were so many ways to sin, and some were intentional ways, you know, if you said a bad word, if you had hate in your heart. But there were other ways that weren't so intentional. For example, and this was actually an example given to us by our preacher, that it didn't matter if you were on that pew every single Sunday. It didn't matter if you repented, if you asked for forgiveness, if you owned how miserable of a human being you are. And if you ask forgiveness and God gives you that. And if you leave and you go to a buffet and you have so much as one bite of food too much and you get killed in a car wreck, you're going straight to hell for gluttony. That is the God I grew up with. And there was no room in there for salvation. There was no room in there for hope. There was no room in there for love. And so I can remember being horrified when I turned 12, because 12 was about the age of accountability. So before age 12, I knew that I was probably okay, you know, because I hadn't hit that age of accountability. But when I turned 12, it was like, oh my, you know, I was horrified. I don't know that I can uphold this standard of behavior. And we could take huge detours right now. And I literally could. I could tell you about all the ways in which growing up in this Pentecostal faith made it very hard to be an intuitive. I could tell you about how when I told my third grade Sunday school teacher I could see angels, she told me, no, you don't. Those are demons. And if you tell anyone you see them, you will go straight to hell and you will belong to the devil forever. And so I could also tell you how I do truly in my heart believe that all of the illnesses I've had in this lifetime, all of them are from the soul fracture that recurred as the seed of growing up believing that the only way to appeal to God was through suffering. Because it didn't matter how good you were, you could never be good enough, but maybe you could suffer enough. Maybe you could. And so at some point in this journey, I abandoned Christianity. You know, it didn't matter what I did. You know, I was never going to be good enough. I was never going to be able to suffer enough. I was never going to be able to sacrifice myself, my happiness, my health, my heart enough. And so I completely walked away from it. Just, I am not a Christian anymore. I'm done, you know, and who could honestly blame me with the way that I grew up? So I started becoming a seeker, you know, and I wanted to know different things. And so when I say I studied Wicca for a short period of time, what I mean is that I worked at a library and there was a book and I would reshelf that book about 3 times a day so I could kind of peek in it because I still couldn't bring myself to actually open it, sit down and read it because there was still that fear that God might smite me, you know. But I wanted to know things. I wanted to study. So, you know, there was probably about 12 minutes over a span of 6 months that I got to look at that book in total because I sure wasn't going to let anybody see me with it open. I studied Scientology for a while, but the fear there, I know for a fact my mother would have been declared a suppressive person, and so if you know anything about Scientology, you know that's bad. So I walked away from Scientology because I knew my mother would be declared, and that just couldn't work because that would be very bad. But I started studying the laws of the universe, and if you know anything about me, you know I talk all the time about the law of attraction, the law of karma, the law of divine compensation. That these were universal laws that we can all take and apply to our life. And I was comfortable in the laws because in the laws, it said if I believed I was good enough, then I was good enough. If I believed I could heal, then I could heal. And I found comfort in that. And so along the way, I started getting these messages to, you know, you need to pick up your Bible and read. I don't know that there's ever been a door slammed closed as fast and as quickly as I did on that message. Nope, not going to happen. Not going to do it. I already know what's in there, you know, and there's nothing in there that cannot lead me to suffering. Therefore, I am not going to do it. And I was just, you know, really adamant in that. So fast forward a little bit in the journey, and a man named Jeremy had sent me a Facebook message. And we were related at one time. Well, he was my former stepbrother, okay? And very, very fundamental Christian, raised in some of the same church as I was for a brief period of time, but then after my dad died, you know, different directions. But some of the same beliefs. And so he sent me this message and basically said, you know, I don't know where you get off thinking you can talk to angels, but here's what I need to know right now. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into your heart, or are you going to burn in hell forever? And so I thought, well, unfriend and block. Problem solved. I didn't even respond, right? And so, problem solved? No, not even close. Not even close. So for the first time in a long time, I did pick up my Bible. I didn't pick it up because I was seeking God or because I was seeking Christ. I picked it up because I wanted a shield. I wanted something to defend myself with. I wanted something that I could say, hey, look, you know, you can quote yours at me and I can come back at you with this. I'm going to talk in stereotypes for a few minutes and I'm going to ask for some leeway and just this open box to do it. And then I'll come back and, you know, undo those stereotypes for you. But if I'm going to characterize one group of people in my life that have caused me more pain, more literal pain, emotional pain, more destruction to my life than any other, they're going to fall under that badge of I am Christian. They're going to fall right there. And so if I look at, you know, my Sunday school teacher, when I told her I could see angels, she told me that I was evil by holding up her badge of Christianity. See, I'm Christian, I know. You're not. I'm Christian. When, you know, as a child, I was very badly physically and emotionally abused. And that was okay. You know why? Because God made men the head of the household. And so if my dad saw fit to just beat the absolute snot out of me, that he could. He was the head of household. He's a Christian. That was okay. That wasn't a big deal, you know? And so my entire paternal family has nothing to do with me. Why? Because they're Christians. My last time I spoke with, not Lucy, for those of you who know Lucy, the other grandmother. The last time I talked to that grandmother, she told me that I was a demon wearing her dead granddaughter's skin and to never call her again. Wow. Okay? And now we can even mention the stuff that happened in Texas that some of you know. When I started my angel ministry, my husband got wrote up, disciplined, and harassed because they were Christians. And what I did was basically being accused of witchcraft. They never asked me what I did. No one ever asked me, what is it you do? What is it you believe? They just labeled it. And not only did he lose that job, but like literally 3 hours after he comes home with the notice that your termination is imminent because of your wife Leslie's angel ministry, blah, 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 there's a doorbell. The doorbell rings. It is the daughter-in-law of our landlords who have come to tell us that we need to leave because we've been accused of witchcraft. And her in-laws that own the house are Christians. And that they can't risk doing business with us, you know, so we have to move out right away. All of this happens. The guys that send the death threats after I do media appearances, they do it under Christianity. You see, they're Christians, therefore they have the right to judge everyone else. And so even 2 years ago, my daughter Avery got uninvited from a slumber party and even moved across the room because one of the parents found out about what I do. And they didn't want their daughter under the influence of someone like me. So truly, when I say this, I mean it. No group in my entire life has ever hurt me more and hurt my family more than those that wear the badge of Christianity. So is it any reason why I would say, that's it, I'm done. I'm walking away. I had to spend a lot of time in reflection on what these things meant. So even though I picked up that Bible to go back and say, you know, I need a defense here. I need a defense here. I found some other things as well. In Mark 11:17, and he taught and said unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it into a den of robbers. This is why we're seeing so many people leave the church, because we're seeing so many abuses within it. We're seeing abuses such as an Atlanta minister recently announced that he was going to raise $65 million. You can do a lot of good with $65 million. You can feed a lot of people, clothe them, house them, educate them, give them a place to live. You can give them hope with $65 million. That's a lot of money. But you know what he wanted it for? For a private jet. Because God didn't want him to fly commercial. He said, Jesus wants me to have this jet. You're my congregation. If each of you give, he had it down to the dollar amount. Every one of you give this amount, I will have my private jet like Jesus wants me to have. You know, I've read a lot of the Gospels, and I never remember Jesus saying, don't fly commercial. not even in there, you know? And so then I found others that gave me hope in what's going on. Oh. So now we're to one of my heroes, Pope Francis, who has said that if the church is not willing to help the needy, then it doesn't need to be tax exempt. This man is completely shaking up Christianity, and I love it. I completely put all my support and my love behind this man and everything that he stands for. So we are getting the shakeup we need in the Christian church. It's happening, and it's happening under a lot of the help of Pope Francis. Okay, next one. Okay, so these scriptures help me as well, because remember, every time someone hurt me, they did it under this, I am Christian and you are evil, right? Every time they do it, I mean, just post something on Facebook, and I did this last week about, you know, it's supporting same-sex marriage because it's not our place to judge. And you know what I got from those that claim Christian? That's evil. They choose that. That's an abomination to God. That's this, that, and the other. I mean, just try it. Talk about talking to angels and see how they react. You are an abomination to God. So in Matthew, we have these two verses. Be careful not to practice your high righteousness in front of others, to be seen by others. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street to be seen by others. I tell you, they have received their reward. And that reward is ego. That reward is that feeling of superiority they get when they say, now, wait a minute, you're not part of my group. You know, you're not good enough. You're bad. You're evil. You're wrong, because I'm Christian and I get to make that call. That's what I get to do. And so that's what came to me through these scriptures, but then something really profound and really life-changing came as well. I had been judging Christ based on what other people were saying about him. It dawned on me that I didn't know Christ. I didn't know him at all. And so that, for the first time in a long time, I picked up my Bible and I began to seek with an earnest heart. And when you seek, you will find. And I can tell you right now that I am a passionate follower of Christ and everything he stood for. And I know what he stood for because I make it my duty to know, to research, to read, to learn, to listen, and to be still and to hear. And it's because of that that I can say, you know what? I don't know if I identify as Christian or not. I don't know. And I even told the archbishop that. I'm participating in a book right now being written by an archbishop. And when he asked me that, I said, I don't know how to answer that. Because too many people use that as a badge to hurt others. And I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. And so what I can tell you is that I believe with every fiber of my being, and I believe with every part of my heart that Christ is my teacher. And I will follow him, and I will listen to him, and I will like pay respect to his teachings and try to be like him in every single way of my life. That part I can tell you without any shadow of a doubt. But if being a Christian means that I have to hurt people and judge them, then I'm not going to step up. I would rather be the quiet follower of Christ and know in my heart that I know Christ than to use it as some type of badge to hurt others. Okay, so go ahead and do the next one. Oh, even this weekend, by the way, I saw an article that the Mormon Church is going to deny baptism to children of same-sex couples. Does that sound like Christ? Not the one I know. Okay, so this is actually a painting by a little girl named Akeen, I think is how you say her name. I'm not even going to try. I think she's from Lithuania. And so there's a story that kind of goes with this picture. And that was a couple of years ago, I was doing a session with a woman. We're going to call her Abby. And so Abby was doing this session, and what I didn't know at the time was that Abby was a practicing Mormon living in Salt Lake City, working for a Mormon church. So her religion was very wound into every part of her life, but she had these intuitive gifts that she didn't know how to make sense of. So how do I make sense of all of these intuitive gifts within this faith? So before she had her session, she prayed, and she said, okay, if this is really okay with you, God, I want Christ to come through in the session. I want him to be wearing a blue robe, and I want him to say this very specific phrase. Now, thank God I didn't know that, or I might have panicked and not been able to do it. But for whatever reason, at the end of that session, I look up, and Christ actually looks a lot like that, which is why I include this photo. He looks a lot like that. I think the beard's a little different, and maybe the eyebrows are a little different, but that captures him really well as to what I see. And so I said, oh, well, I see Christ. And I was kind of shocked, like, oh, hey, haven't seen you in a long time, wearing the blue robe and the little phrase that I can't remember now. It's been many years. I said the exact phrase. And at that point, she started crying so hard, we had to end the session. And it was about a day later, I got an email from her telling me why she had to end the session and what that meant to her, to hear the phrase and to get the description that she needed. So when that was over, I'm like, kind of scared. You know, I mean, is he still the big bad Santa Claus that's here to put me on the naughty list? Or is this the teacher that I've come to know? And I said, you know, so why are you just now showing up? I mean, if you're always available. And you know what he said to me? I've always been here. You just weren't ready yet. I've always been here. And I do believe him. And so Christ comes through in a lot of messages along with the archangels. But again, if I say that publicly, what's going to happen? Right? What's going to happen if I say, not only do I channel angels, but I channel Christ? You know, I give messages. You think they're mad now? I mean, wow. Yeah, that won't be good. Okay. All right. So continuing in my desire to know more, to go back and read the Gospels with just not anyone else's filter. We all go through life with these filters. You have the filters of your parents, the filters of your friends, the filters of your church. You have all these filters that you have. And what I've learned is the people that think that they're speaking the words of Christ, the people that think that they're teaching them, are just giving someone else's interpretation. They're not actually going back to what he said and what he did. So we have the Apostle Paul that gave us 9 spiritual gifts. And wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment of spirit, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And when I found this one, I was like, are you kidding me? That's been there the whole time? All these times I was told that I was evil, I was wrong, and it was there the whole time? Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Just waiting on me to find it. And so, Katrina, go ahead, do the next slide. Okay, so these are some that I find great comfort in. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And what is this that Christ said? He said, if you follow me, if you believe in me, you will do my work. You will do things that I do and even more, because it's time for me to go to the spirit realm, but you're to stay here on the physical realm. You're to stay here and continue on the work. I'll help from my side, you work from your side, and we'll do it together. Then Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. Therefore, if I believe I can heal, I can heal. If I believe that I can have a happy, love-filled life, I can. Matthew 12:29, and I love that, Katrina, you mentioned some of this earlier. The yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. This summarizes Christ's energy. It's gentle. It's loving. It's comfort. It's solace. He is not Santa Claus waiting with the naughty list just to check you off and make sure that you don't get what you need. It is gentle. It is humble. It is loving. It is comforting. And this is Christ. This is our teacher. And in Acts 2:17, this was one of my defenses that, you know, I would counter with. In the final days, I will fill your sons and daughters with my Holy Spirit, and they will prophesy. And this is one that I could take and turn back to those that were saying, you know, well, and there are scriptures in the Old Testament that say that, you know, women should not be doing this, okay? There are, but also we have some other scripture that comes in play. In Matthew 7:1, do not judge, or you too shall be judged. Okay, Katrina. Okay, so sometimes I really struggle with the people that want to use Christ against me. But you know what? I know now they're not using Christ. I'm not real sure what they're using. I have no idea. I really don't know where they're getting their information, but I know it's not from my teacher. I know it's not from my master, because I know what he teaches. In fact, I really had to pull myself back the other day, because someone I went to high school with was being all holier than thou, and I thought, I went to high school with you. You were fornicating all over the place. I mean, are you really going to stand there and say that? Are you a little afraid of that lightning that's going to come down from the sky and strike you? You know, I mean, really and truly, I think about this, and the people that are using Christ to hate, I know them. I know a lot of them, you know, and they have made so many things that would be very against what they believe, and I wonder how they make that okay in their mind. The way I make it okay in my mind is simple. I see God in everybody. I love everybody. Even those that say these things to me, I make sure I love them, okay? I make sure I send them love, because they don't know Christ. They don't know my teacher. They don't know the unconditional loving nature of God. They know conditionals, conditional love, conditional acceptance. And that's not the God I serve. And that's not Christ. That's not my teacher. God exists within you already. You don't have to go find it. You don't have to seek it. All you have to do is acknowledge that within you, the seed of God already exists. It exists within every cell of your body. The very fact that you are incarnate means that you are God's love manifest in physical form. And you matter. And you truly matter. When Christ came, he said, I am the fulfillment of the law. And you know what that means. That's why we no longer sacrifice animals when we, quote, sin. Okay? This is why we no longer have to do those things that we did in the Old Testament days. Because he said, I am the fulfillment of the law. And he gave us one simple commandment. Christ was so wise and profound in his knowing that he knew that one commandment would create a world of peace. One commandment could create a very loving, peaceful, harmonious people on this planet. And this is my commandment, John 15:12. Love one another as I have loved you. And if we could do that everything else would be gravy. If we could just hold this one commandment of Christ, we would truly, truly have peace in all parts of our lives. Love one another as I have loved you. That is what Christ taught. That is what he still teaches. And that is his commandment to us. And if we can do it, we can be the shining light for everyone else. There's not fear or judgment in the love of Christ. There's only unconditional love, healing, and peace. And that's what I ask you to take from this. And before we, officially end, I have two quick announcements, and I'm so proud of myself for remembering. Next Saturday, I'm teaching a class on creating an inspired and abundant life. It's going to be over on Main Street. There's information on my website and on Facebook. There's a fee for the class, but if you really want to come and you can't afford the fee, we do have a few scholarships. The fee includes your lunch and materials and everything, so it's not a huge fee. But that class is available if you want to go to it. And then Wednesday morning, I will be on Rise and Shine promoting the class. So 7:45, I think, is the time. Okay, so now that those two bigs are things out of the way, what I leave you with is this. If we can follow Christ's commandment and truly love each other, everything else will really and truly take care of itself. We won't have people starving. We won't have people homeless. We will put an end to a lot of the crimes that we see because people will feel loved and they won't need to do some of the things that they do. Now, will we still have bad people around? Absolutely. Sure. But most of them will come into alignment because I see people from all kinds of walks of life on a regular basis, even across the planet, completely different belief systems than ours. But you know what every single one of them needs to hear? You deserve love. You deserve love. Those words can change a life. Those words can heal a state of disease. Those words can create a world that we actually want to live in. So that's what I ask of you. As Christ commanded, love one another as he has loved us. Thank you. No, you're fine. You can sit there. Thank you.